All right, the webinar is live. You are free to start.
Thank you so much. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting for Wednesday, September 16th, 2020. Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Ray Russell?
Here.
Director Lee?
Here.
Director Gibson? Not here.
And it is our understanding that she should be joining momentarily. So we're going to go ahead and proceed, hoping that she gets here within the next moment or two. We may need to stop and take a quick break if we get to that point. So for now, we will do the Pledge of Allegiance. Will you please silently follow along with me as I recite the pledge? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So for agenda review, item 3, does anyone have any need to rearrange things on the agenda?
I do not.
And I see Director Gibson has just popped in, so let's let her get all situated and we'll see if she's got any questions about the agenda. There she is. Hello, Shirley. We are on item 3 for agenda review. Do you have any reason that you might want to move things around on the agenda, or shall we proceed as published? Shirley? Are we good to proceed as published? I don't know if she can hear us.
Yeah, I don't think she can hear us.
Can you hear us, Shirley? All right, let's take a quick pause and let's see if we can help her out. All right, she's getting on the phone. Great. All right, hang on just one second, everyone. If you're listening at home, we are just awaiting a little bit of technical difficulty for Director Gibson, so bear with us. I'm sure it'll just take a moment or two. Let me see if I can call her and help her out. AGP, can we go ahead and take a 5-minute break and I'll call Director Gibson and see if I can help her out?
Yes.
All right. So everyone, we'll take a quick 5-minute break. So how can I effectively get you her phone number without making it public?
The last 3 digits will be public to anybody that is in the Zoom meeting. Okay. The rest of the digits will be start out.
Okay, great. So her last three digits are 888. Can you make her a show participant?
I have not seen her call in yet.
Okay. Let me see if I can call her back. I told her to call back in, but. Okay, she's going to try. I asked her to open up her email on her phone so that she can use the link that will identify her as a show participant. So she's going to work on that right now. All right. It sounds like we've got Director Gibson.
Finally.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for your patience. And thanks, AGP, for your patience as well in getting Director Gibson into the meeting. So, Shirley, we are on item number 3, agenda review. So we're just checking to see if there's any reordering you want to do, or do you want to just continue
as published? Continue.
All right, great. So that takes us to item 4. This is public comments on items not appearing on tonight's agenda. This is the part where you get to call in and talk about items that are within the jurisdiction of the sanitation district. You get 3 minutes, and let's go ahead and check and see if there is anyone in the queue.
I see no attendees.
Wow. Okay. Then I will go ahead and close public comment and move on to the consent agenda. Tonight we have 2 items on the consent agenda. This is approval of warrants and the approval of the meeting minutes for August 5th, 2020. Do we have anyone who has any questions about items 5A or 5B?
No,
I do not.
Okay, hearing none, does someone want to make a motion?
Subject to the fact that we don't have any public comment, I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
No.
Amy, can we get a roll call, please?
Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Ray Russom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
That takes us to item 6A. This is the contract for the coastal hazard monitoring with Rincon Consultants. Director Gent, I just gave you I don't even know if it's a promotion. District Administrator Gent, you are frozen on my screen. I hope that that's just me.
He's frozen on mine as well.
It is the night for technical difficulties. And he dropped. Okay, let's wait a few moments and hopefully he'll call back in from a different room.
Would you like me to read the staff report?
Yes, let's go ahead and do that. And that way we can, I don't want to say get that out of the way, but then by the time he gets back in, perhaps he'll be available for comments or questions. So go ahead. Thank you very much, Amy. That's a great idea.
All right. The item before you is the lease agreement with purchase option for center, whoops, wrong item, right?
So 6A,
that's contract six. Hazard. Okay, sorry. Oh, wait, Jeremy's texting. He said his Zoom crashed. Okay. The item before you is the contract for coastal hazard monitoring with Rincon Consultants. The recommendation is to authorize the district administrator to execute a contract for coastal hazards monitoring services with Rincon Consultants in the amount of $66,672 for continued coastal hazards monitoring and reporting. Some background. The California Coastal Commission approved Coastal Development Permit 3-16-0233 for the district's wastewater treatment plant redundancy project. As a special condition of this CDP and of this Coastal Development Permit, the California Coastal Commission requires the district to perform ongoing coastal hazard monitoring as described in the approved Coastal Hazards Monitoring Plan. The district prepared a Coastal Hazards Monitoring Plan December 2018, which was submitted to California Coastal Commission and approved. It is now upon the district to implement the approved plan, which requires continuous monitoring and annual reporting. On October 2nd, 2019, the district board approved a contract with Rincon Consultants to implement the district's coastal hazards monitoring plan, including monitoring and annual reporting. The scope of the initial contract covered the 2019-2020 rain year. Discussion. This contract will provide the district with monitoring and reporting of the coastal hazards and satisfy the regulatory condition as required in the coastal development permit. The scope of services is in accordance with the district's coastal hazards monitoring plan and includes collecting regional data, including tidal wave elevations, wave parameters, temperature, evaporation, participation, precipitation, Arroyo Grande Creek water levels, and groundwater data. Making this data available to the district in a database, collecting photos and documentation of water levels, surface ponding, and any impact to the wastewater treatment plant following each qualifying rain event of 0.5 inches or more. Collecting photos and documentation following a flood event, conducting a topographic channel survey of Arroyo Grande Creek and Lagoon, conducting an aerial survey of the beach, berm, and lagoon to establish a baseline to detect future changes, conduct investigations in the case of an extreme coastal flood event, providing a monthly summary of environmental data and an annual report describing work done and findings over the prior year. Prepare and submit annual report to the California Coastal Commission. Fiscal consideration. Account 20-7080, Redundancy, Phase 1, Permits, Fees, Environmental, and Utilities, includes budget to cover the cost of this contract. And attached to the staff report was the RINCON consultant's proposal dated September 3rd, 2020.
Thank you very much. Let's see if the board has any questions. And at this time, maybe we might want to put that off until public comment, but I think we're going to be kind of in the same time crunch anyway. So Director Lee, any questions?
I do have just one question, and it's probably is for Jeremy, but perhaps Michael can address it, is some of the discussion here, bear with me just one. I apologize, there's some background noise. So my question ends up being the work that RINCON's going to be doing under this contract is outside the district boundaries and obviously in coastal or state jurisdiction. And I'm assuming we've got the right of entry or we've got an opportunity for RINCON to actually obtain information from the other agencies that might be necessary rather than redoing all of this? Or are we the prime agency and we'll be sharing it with the other jurisdictions?
I'm going to have to defer to Jeremy on that question. I think this is specifically for the redundancy project. I'm not sure exactly how that entails with other cities that are involved. I think it's just primarily us. I'm not exactly sure, but.
Let's do this while Mr. Gent is getting situated. Let's go ahead and go to the public and let's start collecting those questions so that once he gets in, we can ask them all at the same time. So I'm going to go ahead at this time and open up public comment. So AGP or Amy, can you let me know if there's anyone in the queue?
There is still no participants.
Okay, so I'll close public comment. And Jeremy, are you back in? Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you guys hear me?
We can. Yeah. Did you hear Director Lee's questions?
I did not. I was not on in time. I was having some audio issues. I'm on my phone now, too, so my internet's down completely here at the house right now.
Okay. So, Director Lee, you want to ask that again?
I can do that, and hopefully the second time will be less verbose than the first time. So, Jeremy, my question basically boils down to is RINCON's scope is on property not controlled by the district, i.e. the Arroyo Grande Creek or the lagoon. And so I'm curious whether RINCON is able to obtain information from the county or state parks as the owners of those and a right of entry into those spaces. For use here, or are we sharing information with those other jurisdictions, or are we able to use their base map information or baseline information?
So that's one of the things that RINCON's been working on is actually that coordination with the county, because there's multiple efforts, as you mentioned there at the lagoon. To answer the first part of your question, yes, this is the second year. Is the audio coming through okay?
It's not great. If you could just kind of put it in a way that the microphone's pointing up, because it's coming in and out.
Is it better now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So as far as the right of entries, that is one of the things. This is the second year of this coastal hazards monitoring plan. And so in the first year, we did have to go out and obtain those right of entries. It was a little bit of a challenge with state parks to get that, but we ultimately did get it. And so they have all the rights to enter to do these biological surveys on the state parks and county land right now.
Any other?
Just a quick follow-up. So obviously they've got the right to do this. So effectively, as you're saying, our Coastal Commission permit requires us to do work on or monitoring on other properties not under the control of the district, correct?
That is absolutely correct, yes. The coastal condition requires us to monitor that entire fluvial area of the AG Creek and the Meadow Creek Lagoon to monitor for coastal hazards, both for sea level rise and increased frequency in flooding due to climate change. And so that was one of the oppositions when we were getting the permit that we pushed back on, and that predates me as well. But there were some concerns about the amount of work being asked to be done off-site. And so this cost that you see in front of you, I should point out, will likely go down slightly as we revise the plan downwards. But that's an annual cost that the district is looking at in perpetuity, kind of that magnitude.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Gibson, do you have any questions?
Just one. Since this is the second annual, is this still trying to establish the baseline?
Do I have the floor? This is still trying to establish the baseline. Well, not for the flooding, but it's just monitoring the frequency in which flooding impacts occur on the site and the changes to that lagoon area and the creek area that might exacerbate flooding. And all of this is meant to feed us information on when it might be necessary for the plant to retreat inland, or if that will ever be necessary for us to move to a different location based on these climate change impacts.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Okay, two questions, and we have already done public comment, but just as a point of courtesy to the public, just a double check, is there anyone, do we have anyone that is on the line, Amy?
I still have no attendees.
Okay. So let's bring this back around to the board, and I will move that we authorize the district administrator to execute a contract for coastal hazard monitoring services with Rincon Consultants in the amount of $66,672 for continued coastal hazards monitoring and reporting.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Hey, Amy, can we get a roll call, please?
Chair Ray Russin?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Lee?
Yes.
Motion carries.
It sounded like Director Lee's dog decided to vote. This takes us to the next item on the agenda. This is contract for WWTP Redundancy Project Biological Monitoring Services with Rincon Consultants. Mr. Gent?
Yes. Good evening. I'm trying to get to through this last staff report here. Bear with me. So the item before you is the contract treatment plant redundancy project biological monitoring services with Rincon Consultants. It's recommended that your board authorize the district administrator to execute a contract for biological monitoring services for the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project with Rincon Consultants in the amount of $85,759, and authorize the district administrator to review and approve changes to the contract for up to 15% of the initial amount, or $12,864, for a total potential amount of $98,623. So the item before you tonight is intended to provide services during the construction of the redundancy project. And as part of that, we have conditions to monitor for both biological life, such as the California red-legged frog and other species, and also for archaeological artifacts that might be discovered during, it's a low-risk area, it's previously disturbed, but these are all things we have to monitor for during construction. And so the contract before you will allow the construction to occur and for us to meet our requirements by CEQA and NEPA and to deliver the project. And with that, I'm open for questions.
Okay, let's check in with the directors. Director Gibson, do you have any questions?
I had a question about the What is involved with the WEAT training? They have three sessions, I guess, two on site. What does that involve?
So I've been through these trainings before, and basically it trains all of the workers to identify things that they may encounter, or like such as species. And so it's often a book with photographs of, like, so there would be a photograph of a California red-legged frog. And so they would train the workers and show that species to them and let them know if they see that they need to come get the biological monitor and stop work in that vicinity. And so it's a basic training that's conducted in, like, in a 15-minute morning session before construction commences.
Okay. And I have another question. The part where they are talking about pre-construction and the red-legged frog and nesting birds, and, you know, they have the assumptions. And are those assumptions based on historical information of the site? Like, you know, they're saying they expect a single nesting bird will take, you know, no more than 8 hours or no more than two active nests. I mean, how do they have those assumptions?
So these are based on the biological observations and the surveys that were done as part of preparing the biological analysis for getting the EIR completed. And so through those surveys, they've observed things. Now, that being said, if they didn't observe something, there may still be things listed. Just because they didn't observe them doesn't mean you might not encounter them. So some stuff that wasn't observed would be included in that list because it is known to be, we have a lot of species on the Central Coast. And so there's items in there that weren't observed, and there's items, species in there that were observed on site.
Okay. All right, those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Lee, any questions?
Thank you. Just one question. Realizing that RINCON is apparently successful on both of these contracts, what's the benefit to the district for having the same consultant do both of these monitoring work? Is the same person going to be familiar with both contracts, or are we going to have different personnel making sure that they monitor and do the appropriate oversight and comparable monitoring amongst both contracts?
So, I kind of expected this type of question because there are the two contracts here. Largely, these two contracts are being ran out of two different offices. The prior contract for the coastal hazards monitoring is being led out of their Ventura office, which is where they have the experience with those coastal flooding and hydrology type experience out of that office. And so that's really those folks down there that run that. Now, the day-to-day stuff, when they have to come out and monitor a rain event, they'll run that out of the San Luis office. So there are local personnel coming to the site to do the, like if it rains, they may have to come out during the coastal hazards monitoring to investigate the site. Now, on this particular one, RINCON was also, the benefit here is we did receive two proposals, and that were scored by MKN and myself to look at this, and they were both competitive, and we're recommending RINCON because they do have past project experience, and they developed the EIR and the biological recommendations that are in the permits. So with that, we do get some benefit because they've had history on the redundancy project, and that's part of the reason that they're being recommended because of that past experience.
Any other questions, Director Lee?
Nope, thank you. That answers all my questions.
Okay, and I have no questions. Thank you so much for the great staff reports on those two items. Let's go ahead and see if there are any show participants who might like to speak.
There are still no attendees.
All right, so we will open and then close public comment officially and bring this back around to the directors. Would someone like to make a motion on this?
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we authorize the district administrator to execute a contract for biological monitoring services for the water wastewater treatment plant redundancy project with RINCON consultants in the amounts as specified in the recommendation.
I'll second that.
All right, any discussion? We have a motion and a second. Amy, can we get a roll call, please?
Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Chair Ray Russum?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right, and I'm doing the scrolling this time, so forgive me. That was a big one. There's a lot of people in this report.
Yeah, but I want Colby's beard.
All right, this takes us to the next item. This would be item 6C. This is the lease agreement with purchase option for centrifuge and auxiliary equipment. And I'm guessing this is going to be maybe Michael who's going to do this one.
Yes. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Michael Jones, plant superintendent, and I'm the staff report before you is for the lease agreement with purchase option for centrifuge and auxiliary equipment. Staff's recommendation is to authorize the district administrator to exercise the purchase option of the lease agreement in the amount of $155,000. Some background and discussion in preparation of the digester number two cleaning project, the district has entered into a lease agreement with Petroleum Solids Control Inc. for centrifuge and auxiliary equipment. This lease agreement contains a purchase option. The centrifuge and auxiliary equipment are necessary during the digester number two cleaning project. Entering into this agreement allows the district the option to purchase the centrifuge and auxiliary equipment outright after 6 months. The total cost for the lease to purchase agreement is $155,000. The expected digester cleaning project duration is 8 months, which results in a total centrifuge rental cost of $215,600. This would put the district over its budgeted amount of $200,000 for the rental centrifuge. Exercising the purchase option of the agreement would allow the district to save a total amount of $60,000 or $60,600 and stay within budget. Some fiscal consideration. Again, we have budgeted, there was a line item of $200,000 for the rental centrifuge included in the adopted budget for fiscal year 2020-21 under Fund 26. And then the attachment is the Petroleum Solids Control Inc. rental quote dated July 22nd, 2020. And with that, that concludes my staff report, and I'm able to answer any questions the board may have.
Thank you. Let's go in just different order this time, just shaking things up. Director Lee, would you like to go first? Do you have any questions?
Just one question and one comment. The comment is that it sounds like I appreciate staff's ability to think outside the box with regards to the lease agreement versus the purchase agreement to save the district the funding. So the question I have is the $155,000, does that include any restocking fee for the equipment once we turn it back into them?
No, that's for the purchase the equipment outright.
Okay, so maybe I misunderstood the agreement then. So to purchase equipment, we have it forever, is only $155,000.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay, so the actual rental cost is more than the opportunity to purchase it. I think I was reading that in the fact that we were going to execute the purchase option and then return it after we were done. So, okay, perfect. I like this idea even better. Thank you.
Oh, I was already unmuted. Director Gibson, any questions?
Yeah, yes. I just wanted to verify. So the cost is $155,000. And then does that include the maintenance? Any problem we might have?
The $55,000, does not include the maintenance. We do have a maintenance contract with them currently, which is, I believe, if I remember correctly, around $2,000. I'm not 100% on that.
Okay.
I'm at my computer, so I can look up that specific figure if that's okay.
Sure.
So the monthly cost for the maintenance is $1,350 for a term of 6 months. If we exercise the purchase option, the purchase option, which would be a total of $8,100 on top of the $155,000. And the reasoning for the maintenance is, which would be included in the rental agreement, but for the lease to purchase option, we wanted to include that in lieu of the rental, the lease to own or lease to purchase option, excuse me.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And Michael, I only have one question on this. Maybe I'm not quite understanding, so forgive me if I missed something. So the rental idea was because we don't need this long term. This is part of a project we have, but we're going to purchase it because it saves so much money, which is great. Do we have the ability after we're done to turn around and sell this? Is there some sort of a depreciated cost that the sanitation district will potentially reap back so that it will end up costing us even less than the $155?
Yes, there is a possibility that we could sell this equipment to get some of that cost back. Another option that Jeremy and I have even spoke about was actually possibly renting it out to other local agencies in our area to get some of that cost back as well.
Wow, that's really outside the box. I like that's a little predatory, but I like it. Okay.
So I would like to jump in there on that. So the other benefit that this has is right now during the redundancy project, three of our drying beds are going to be occupied for project space. And those drying beds are the alternative to this dewatering equipment. And so having this additional dewatering capacity at the facility will also be beneficial throughout the duration of the redundancy project because we'll be constrained somewhat on site with our atmospheric drying process. So that's an added benefit as well. So we would anticipate holding on to it for the next 3 to 4 years before we would like to hold on to it for that time frame.
Outstanding. So this is even an even better decision than it looked on paper in the staff report. So great. Thank you for that. So let's check in with Amy and see if we had anybody add into the meeting. Open public comment.
There is still no attendees.
And we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board for consideration and possible action.
I'd like to make a motion that we authorize the district administrator to exercise the purchase option of the lease agreement in the amount of $155,000.
And before I fall off my chair, I will second that.
All right, we have a motion, a second. Any discussion?
Ready? No.
Get a roll call, please.
Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Ray Russum?
Yes. Outstanding. I don't know why I'm so heartened by that that item, but that's even better than it looked. So thank you for that. All right. This takes us to item 6D. This is the District Administrator and Plants Operations Report. Who would like to go first this evening?
I'll go ahead. We'll do it in order. I'll go ahead and jump in and go first. I do have my internet back now, so I'm joined back in, and hopefully the audio is better. So first off, I want to Jeremy Gent, district administrator, obviously. And so I'm excited right now and because of the news I have. Yesterday at approximately 3 p.m., we posted for advertising the redundancy project. So it is officially on the street.
Yay!
I went out last night and celebrated. Made a lot of us happy. And so we're live now, and that brings me into the administrator's report. We've got, it says 9/16. That was what I anticipated. I was going to get it out by 9/16 when I drafted this report, but we got it out yesterday, which that gives us a bid opening of 11/9. And then we'll have to come back and do a bond sale on 12/1. And then we anticipate just after the schedule got pushed into what would have been December 22nd for this notice to proceed date. And so we pushed that out beyond the holidays to the first of the year there on the 4th, which is the first Monday after the holidays there. And then that would have us completing the project approximately at the end of April of 2023. A couple other items. So we continue, we have implemented COVID precautions at the facility. We have been impacted with some folks having to stay home. But that's all been alleviated now. Everybody's back in full operation. And so, but we continue to do the temperature checks daily. We social distance. We don't have to be in the same space. We don't take breaks together in the break room. We go outside if we have to interact for extended periods of time. And so that's been going well. Another item, I received some proposal from NBS Consultants. NBS is the consultant that handles the putting the Oceano charges on the tax roll for the district. And in conversations I had about moving the other agencies on with them, they offered to send over a proposal, and I did receive that last week. I've not got to spend much time on it, but that'll be something that'll be coming forward as we continue considering moving the other agencies to the tax roll. Another item, the county through the flood control district is pursuing a large scale restoration project on the Meadow Creek Lagoon. It's a multi-year project, and that's the lagoon that kind of runs there from Pier Avenue and then alongside the plant. And so I was asked to sit in and review proposals as an outside member for the project. And so that's why it's mentioned here. Couple upcoming items. We'll have a revised contract for Kennedy Jenks in October. And then we'll also be bringing forward the resolution to sell bonds for the redundancy project at the October meeting. And with that, that concludes my administrator's report.
Not sure if the board have any questions of Jeremy or if I can just continue on into the plan.
Well, let's check in. I was going to have you continue, but since you brought it up, anyone have questions of the district administrator?
No, I don't.
And I just have one question for the district administrator. So Jeremy, obviously with the flood control district having the Meadow Creek Lagoon project, how will that impact the now the second year contract with RINCON? Obviously, it probably won't have any impact until after the project is done. But will that have any impacts based upon that you can foresee on that contract versus what the project at the lagoon is going to accomplish?
So I would say it's certainly there'll be impacts to the contract as that gets coordinated. At this point, it's a little bit too early to tell because the county doesn't know exactly what the project's going to look like. RINCON did want to have this discussion because they were aware of the project. But unfortunately, at this point, I had to tell them I couldn't get into the, because I was reviewing the RFPs. And so I couldn't talk about the Meadow Creek Lagoon. They were just trying to get some information since we're in proximity to the project. But to answer the more important part of the question is that the county's project is intended to alleviate some of the flooding issues in that lagoon. So which is a big benefit to our facility. And so I think that's an important takeaway of being supportive of this project. In the past, the district had signed a letter of support when the county was applying for grant funding to pursue this project. And so working on this lagoon, it's sedimented and it has a lot of sediment in it. There's no easy way to get that out without a major disturbance. So that's one of the things that would likely come out of this is the lagoon would have less vegetation and have larger capacity, which would reduce the frequency of flooding. And so that's why it will definitely impact what RINCON's doing for us on the coastal hazards monitoring. It'll be a different condition once the county moves forward with their project. But still, nonetheless, we have to monitor that because of our coastal condition. Whatever the new situation is, we'll have to build that into the survey and show the results with the altered facility.
Thank you for that explanation.
I have no questions. So Michael, you want to go ahead and go forward?
All righty, no problems. Michael Jones, plant superintendent. I'm here to continue on the plant operations report portion of the staff report. During this reporting period, August 1st through August 31st, the district's facility met its permit limitations as required under the state of California's National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System permit issued to the district. All analysis was within permit limitations. Our monthly plant data for August 2020, all of our numbers are again well within our permit limitations. All of our numbers look great. Just moving on to our digester number 2 cleaning project. On August 18th, the district had a kickoff meeting with Michael K. Nunley and Associates to discuss the scope of the digester number 2 cleaning project, coordination of operational activities, preliminary data needs, project schedule, and next steps. Tentative start date for the digester cleaning project is November 9th. This is regarding the emergency generator. The district's emergency generator has been repaired and the rental generator has been returned. Operation staff performed a test run of the district's generator to ensure proper operation prior to returning the rental generator. Some trunk sewer flushing and closed circuit television inspection. Mainline utility company completed the flushing and closed circuit television inspection of the district's trunk sewer line located in the city of Arroyo Grande. This work will continue throughout the year with the district's trunk sewer line located in Oceano Community Services District scheduled to be next, followed by the city of Grover Beach. We are currently in the process of reviewing the report of findings and will schedule any necessary repairs accordingly. Some operation and maintenance tasks completed by staff, performed some weed abatement along plant fence line, troubleshot the district's centrifuge, ordered replacement equipment, and installation is scheduled for the week of September 28th. We repaired broken piping and valves at a well water system, reviewed and marked underground service alerts, completed the drain and rinse down of the chlorine contact tank's last four channels, cleaned out some sludge beds, repaired a leaking water line, performed monthly safety walk, changed out backup chemical system cap and gels, then performed a calibration, changed out our backup chemical probe and calibrated. Our rental centrifuge, when we received that, we assisted with the setup and then staff participated in training on startup, shutdown, and troubleshooting. Troubleshot our fixed film reactor sump pump failure. We replaced batteries in our Amiod filter flush counter and reinstalled. Some work orders that staff completed was performing our weekly inspection of all digester vacuum pressure relief valves, thoroughly rinsed all surfaces of clarifiers, test ran emergency generator and emergency bypass pump. We rinsed our chlorine ORP probes, deragged our primary sludge pump. Some preventative maintenance we performed on our forklift, our loader, clarifier drive units, chemical flash mixer, and plant carts. Verified our sodium hypochlorite and sodium bisulfite tanks are not siphoning. We replaced our air filter on the heating and air conditioning unit. Some training that staff participated in was on Target Solutions training on workplace diversity and workplace bullying. And then staff also participated in a safety meeting on hazard communication standards. We did have one call out that occurred on August 8th at approximately 4:10 p.m., which was a motion alarm. Operation staff responded and inspected plant premises. There were no signs of entry and no alarms were active. This is regarding the district's current primary clarifier number 2 rehabilitation coatings project. So just a quick update, significant progress has been made. Basically tomorrow, I think all FRM has to do is just demobilize and some minor cleanup, but we're on schedule to start up our clarifier next Monday. We're just waiting on some minimal coating that was applied. It's got a 7-day cure time. So once that's cured, we can start up our clarifier, which is scheduled for Monday. I've also included some pictures in my operations report. And those just going over those pictures, we have placement of the new district furnished clarifier bridge, the clarifier bridge grating, aluminum rails, kick plate, and partial skimmer installed. You have the clarifier balancing and leveling being performed. the just overall view of the primary clarifier number two completion. And then just moving on to our launder coatings projects. The launder coating project has been completed with minimal spot repairs still needed. Those spot repairs were completed today. And so that's good to go and won't affect our startup time scheduled for Monday. And then again, the following photos capture the progression of the launder coating project. And in these photos, I just kind of wanted to capture really what our concrete surface looked like before and what it looks like after. If you look at this first picture, you can see the bug holes. Those score lines are part of installing your coating. You put in those score lines. So when you're putting on the coating, it kind of locks it in place. So those score lines were put in by a grinder, but all those bug holes just naturally occurred over time. In the next picture, you can see the clarifier launder surface after resurfacing was completed, and you can just see the complete difference compared to what it looked like before. You don't see any bug holes. You do see a score line on top of that launder, and again, that's just for the coating to lock in place. In the next picture, you see our existing primary number one clarifier with a very rough surface. And again, this rough surface, it gets a little complicated, takes more time to rinse and clean, allows more stuff to get trapped and kind of grow in spots. Then in the next picture, you see the new primary clarifier number two coating with a smooth surface. The work was done overnight, so these pictures, I'm hoping you can see them pretty well, but you can just look at the surface and the reflection and how smooth that surface is, and that's going to help out staff with rinsing down and just take less time to rinse down. And then in the final picture is just, again, another picture of the coating with the smooth surface. And with that, I'm able to answer any questions the board may have.
Thank you. Those pictures were great. It felt like we were sitting there watching it happen right in front of us, like a one-day project, you know. Let's see if the board has any questions. I do not. Director Lee? Director Gibson?
No.
Okay. So this is a receive and file for us, and this is exciting, and I can totally see the difference between why we didn't go with the old coding and why we had to do it differently. So thank you so much for making that visual for us visual learners. That was really helpful. Sorry, I slipped into teacher talk for just a moment. That takes us to board member communications on item 7. Does anyone have communications this evening?
I just have one communication. It's more of a water issue than a sewer issue, but if anybody's been following the city of Grover Beach, we did have a waterline main break at 13th and Seabright this afternoon. It was a 12-inch water main that broke. The water service has been returned to everyone except, I think, as of about an hour ago, we were down to about 15 people without water, and we are kind of addressing the needs of those 15 residences. But if there's any impacts to the sewer district, I don't think there is any, but I just wanted to be kind of transparent that we did have a water line break today. So if you were without water for a little while, you now are more aware of why. So.
I shouldn't laugh, but the way you described that was funny. Director Gibson, any communications this evening?
Just that we're the OCSD, we're in the process of doing a 218 vote on raising water rates. So,
got it. And the only exciting news I have is that we affirmed our acting deputy city manager as our city manager. So we have a new city manager. She is fantastic. We are very excited. And there is nothing like a 4-month trial period during a global pandemic to prove that she is up to the task. So I'm very excited. And I think this is really great for all of us. So we've got a great team over here in Rio Grande, and that's going to continue. So very excited. All right. That takes us to item 8, adjournment. Thank you so much. Ms. Raven, I hope we made that easy on you this evening.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure. I will do this anytime. One of the easiest boards to work with. Happy to do it.
Excellent. So, Jeremy, we are on deck for the first meeting of October, correct?
Right. Yes. Okay. I believe that's the 7th.
Okay. So we'll see you all in roughly 3 weeks. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah. Bye.